I'm very risk averse, Cleta, so I like to add in buffers just in case these things come to pass.
Yeah,
just to kind of put it out there for the people.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Business Casual Basketball Podcast. Aaron Washington, come back at you guys on the mic this evening. Super happy to have the opportunity to talk some more ball with y'all and just get some thoughts from a really great guest that I have here next to me on the broadcast. So this is Cleta Taylor. I'm sure some of you guys are not familiar with her, but you should, because she's doing some really great things in the NBA world. And I've gotten the opportunity to check out some of her work, and she's been on a couple of pretty cool projects here in the past few months that I'm going to tell you all about here in a second. But just to tell you all a little bit about Cleta, she is a sports business classroom alumni. She took part in it in 18, 19, had the opportunity to go through that process as well as me and some other people that I've had on the podcast here previously. She is one of the five contestants that took part in the NBA TV's program GM School that broadcast back in October. It was a three-part series. She loves talking basketball strategy and team building strategies. And she is a graduate of Princeton University and Harvard Law School. So, Cleta, your resume speaks for itself. You were very accomplished. You've been doing some great things in the NBA and beyond that. And I'm really glad to have the opportunity to talk to you this evening about some NBA and some other topics here. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime I get to just have a conversation with a former sports business classroom participant and somebody that's been on TV, made in the big times, and had the opportunity to do that, got to bring them on. So I'm excited for the opportunity, Cleta. Cleta, let's talk a little bit about some of these COVID protocols that have been taking hold of the NBA here in the past few weeks. We've seen a lot of things happen in the NBA over the past week or two that have really shaken things up all across the league. It's forced teams to be more flexible when it comes to their rosters, their day-to-day operations. Everything has taken a hit here. So the first thing I wanted to discuss and get your thoughts on is the Seth Curry situation. You know, that was really weird just how that all took place. And I was just wondering, like, how exactly did Seth Curry get all the way to that game against the Nuggets without being pulled? So it turns out that his rapid test came back negative, according to what I heard. And the other test that allows him to, I guess it takes a little bit of more lead time, is the one that came back positive later on. So that's the one that kind of pulled him from the middle of the game action. So they were forced to play that game with technically, I guess, eight players. I guess Mike Scott suited up and he didn't play, but he was there. They finagled that situation. So what do you think about that? Was that a mishandling on the league's part, or sure, is it different of our NBA right now?
It's so hard to navigate the world that we're in right now, as far as, you know, the test. So if the rapid test comes back negative, you know, the question for me becomes, like, what do you do with the players while you wait for the other test, you know? And so, you know, I think that the league might have wanted to think about how to structure the timing of the tests so that you could maybe quarantine the players while you wait for that final test, and keep them separate from each other, you know. But the realities of the shoot around make that very hard. So my question is, you know, the one area where I think maybe the protocol should have addressed would be to keep the players separate until those tests come back, so that he wouldn't have been on the bench. I think that's the bigger question that I had. It's like, okay, I know that you have to have shoot around, you know, and clearly they're taking the approach that in-game contact is not, you know, something that they're, you know, basically, because they're not putting players in protocol based on in-game contact. They put them in protocol based on handshakes after the game and things like that, right? So I think that my question with that situation would have been, you know, could it have been structured in a way where while that second test is coming back, the players socially are more isolated? But then you enter questions into rhythm and routine, which are huge for players as they're getting ready for games and things of that sort. And so how do you disrupt that? But, you know, I just think that more than anything else, you know, it's an issue of, this is the reality that we're in. And, you know, it was a very unfortunate situation, how that played out.
It really was. I think we are all just kind of wondering Like, of course, it's easy to question the league when it comes to protocols like that and procedures. But at the end of the day, they're doing the best they can. And there are certain limitations when it comes to implementing all this stuff within the context of team operations, like you just mentioned, shootarounds. And I'm not sure if they did this, but I know the league was discussing cutting morning shootarounds completely from the team schedule throughout the day. And that's a major influence. Yeah. It's a major effect on every team. Like every team depends on that to build a rhythm, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, the one thing that I think as far as COVID goes that maybe the league, and I'm sure they had this on the table, but, you know, could they have built in little breaks, you know, so that once, you know, so there's two ideas. One, right? One is, you know, every now and again, there's a 5-day period where there are no games. Right. And teams just kind of separate. Oh my gosh, there's a breakout on this team. Well, good, we're off. You know, it's not going to spread to other teams. You know, the other idea is, you know, building in the concept of team bye weeks. So maybe it's not the whole league that's off, but maybe for a 5-day period, like when the Warriors seem, not the Warriors, the Wizards seem to have been kind of a nexus for like spreading, because like after they played Boston, then Boston had it, and this, you know. Yep. So maybe a flexibility where they can identify where they shut down that team earlier. They shut down Washington earlier for a 5-day period or a 6-day period to prevent 4 other teams from having had contact with them. But I'm sure they talked about that. And I'm sure it has something to do with the TV contract where they've got a certain number of games in and they've got to get it done before the Olympics. Assuming that you know, happens. But so I just know, I'm not thinking that I'm bringing any rocket science to you right now. But it would have been nice to see maybe some of that approach taken when it comes to trying to mitigate the COVID issue as they're trying to play out the season.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Kalita. You know, it's, I would love to see that implemented. But of course, when you're talking about bye weeks, that means that you were having an extension of the season. And you mentioned that the Olympics are coming up and there are deadlines at the tail end of this thing that the league is trying to avoid. They're trying to get everything packed in beforehand. So that's why I think that was probably taken off the table once that was mentioned at some point. And anything that involves extending the season to give more lead time, the safety, it would definitely be on the priority if they did that. But TV contracts, like, what's the common denominator here? Money. It's all about the league maintaining that revenue. And it's already taking a hit. We don't have, I believe it's 25 out of the 30 teams that have no fans. So merchandise sales are out the window. Ticket sales are out the window. So they're trying to recuperate that. But of course, what the dark side of this whole thing is, we have the Wizards inflicting all this damage on other teams. Like, Miami was the latest example. Like, I knew that certain players from Miami were going to go into protocol. Like, I'm a Heat fan. I saw the writing on the wall. And then sure enough, Bam is out, Jimmy is out, and things like that. I mean, it does afford players like Tyler Hero the opportunity to come out here and ball out and show what they can do. And we're going to get to that part in a second. But yeah, it's just a challenging situation all around. I just wish that there was a way to make this all work in the context of the team contracts and everything, that the TV contracts. But you know, I'm just worried that at this rate, we're going to see that a lot of games are having to be made up. Like, I did the math, and I think after today's action, we're going to have 49 days of league action left before we hit that break in the calendar they built in. So we're talking about, you know, maybe 50 games plus having to be made up if we're on this pace. And I'm sure you've seen it as well, Kalita. Every day, Woj and Shams are tweeting out that games are being canceled. So, like, right now, we're on a 1+ game per day being postponed. So I don't know what that means for after this. I know they built in a buffer, but at this rate, they're not going to have enough time to make up all those games and then continue on with the calendar. So that's my big worry right now. I'm just wondering how they get around that at this rate.
Yeah, and I mean, one consideration, I'm sure, when it comes down to building in breaks in the official schedule, is that it would have crunched the other games up into more 3 and 4 nights, more back-to-backs, more. And the Players Association, you know, likely pushed back on that, you know, because of player safety. And now you look up, and they're going to have to cram games in. You know, get the canceled games back to it. Yeah, so you kind of are finding yourself in a similar situation when you're talking about just player health and safety and the risks of having so many, you know, 3 games in 5 nights or 3 games in 4 nights or, you know, things like that. So
true. It comes down to fatigue as well. And that's another consideration when we have all these games being crunched up and players are in and out of the lineup. Chemistry is something we addressed already, but we have to talk about the on-court product, which is suffering as a result. We have teams fielding rosters with 7 and 8 players. You know, we have teams that are missing 3 or 4 of their best players, in the case of Miami the other night. And that's great that these young players are able to kind of take their place and come up and get some experience, especially since Summer League wasn't a thing this year. But we have the negative effect of marquee stars being out of the action. You know, if Embiid and Ben Simmons are out, and that's a TNT game, they're forced to move on to a different game, or they're forced to cut it from the schedule or something like that. So those are all considerations as well. And the league is already suffering with a decline in ratings. And if we have guys like that out, it's not going to help things. So that's another challenge they're dealing with here.
Yeah, I mean, totally. It's just, I think that they're going to have to just chalk the season up to being, it's going to be just weird all year. You know, I mean, I will say that some of the games where people have been missing have still been kind of competitive, like, to my surprise. Yeah. There have been a few games where I'm like, wow, they're actually in this game, you know, but it speaks to your point about, you know, some of the younger players are stepping up, and, you know, some of the other teams are fatigued, you know, where, yeah, you may be playing Denver, but, you know, if Denver's on a third game in 4 nights and Jokic and Murray are a little slow, then maybe a depleted, you know, Miami team has the opportunity, because they've still got Duncan Robinson out there. They've still got Tyler Hero out there. You know, Precious Achiuwa is going to be really good. So, I mean, it's just going to be a weird year. And we can only hope that, you know, this fall when they start the 2021-2022 season, we've got a lot more vaccinations and we've got, you know, we're going to get back to the normal season.
Definitely. You know, that's something that we're all looking forward to. Hopefully later on this season and into next season, they're just going to try to bank on getting through this and then, you know, pushing in chips towards 21 the next season to get things rolling normally. While we're in this situation, something else that came to mind for me are roster sizes. They already came together, the league, you know, the Players Association, they came together and they agreed to expand rosters from 13 to 15 players for this season back in December. So that was a move made in anticipation of players missing, being in protocol, things like that. And in prior seasons, the rule was you can have 15 total players, but only 13 could be active on game night. So they kind of twisted that rule around. And I'm really glad that we have two-way spots available. And now that, you know, players are held to a limit of games played instead of days, that's going to help a lot. But we're still dealing with roster shortages, you know, with these protocols just snatching away like 8 players at a time. So, Kalita, in your opinion, you know, should the NBA look into expanding these rosters beyond the 15? You know, if we're having players, teams cut down to 7 and 8 on game nights, like, are we looking at a situation that demands these rosters be expanded in some way?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think particularly for the players who have COVID, who are going to be out for those 14, that those 2 full weeks, 14 days where they're out, you know, it maybe becomes a springing roster spot, you know? So maybe the teams don't carry 20 roster spots the whole season, but once you have, you know, for each player that you have out, you assume a new roster spot, you know, where you're able to bring up another player. So, you know, if you look up and you have 3 players who are out, you know, that's 3 new roster spots. I mean, there's a couple different ways to do it, but I definitely think they need to look into expanding the number of players and number of roster spots that the teams have to work with. Or, you know, possibly it's, you know, and this kind of gets into negotiations with the Players Association. That's what makes it so difficult. I'm sure they're in constant contact with the Players Association, but maybe 10-day contracts and rest of season contracts for this year only are no longer charged to the salary cap, charged to your cap. Maybe they become like 2-way, you know, so that you have that flexibility to bring players in, you know, but that's embedded in the CBA. So they would have to come to an agreement to, you know, waive those requirements. You know, it gets complicated, but, you know, that type of thinking is more, you know, the way that I'm sure they've put on the table some of these ways. And I'm kind of waiting on them to kind of come back and say, yeah, we're going to expand the number of roster spots, or we're going to expand even the number of 2-way players, maybe. I mean, because the reality is, you know, I wonder if they expected this much disruption this early. I wonder if they're a little surprised by it, and maybe they're going to kind of circle back and reevaluate, you know, how they're handling it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kalita. Like, I really do think they were surprised by the number of cases and disruptions and things like that going on so far. We're only in week 3 or 4, I believe, and we've already seen, you know, 6 games postponed to this point. So the math is not working out in the favor of the league. And, you know, the rules that were implemented this week with the adjustments to the handshake rules and, you know, the shoot arounds being looked at to being cut and things like that, that tells me that the league came back to the table to look at these things again, these protocols, because it was an unprecedented or, unexpected number of disruptions into this, to rosters and to the schedule. So I think that speaks to what the league is trying to do right now. And, you know, when we're looking at roster sizes, I like to compare it to fantasy basketball in a sense, because what I did this season, for example, is I increased the roster size by increasing the number of IR spots, injury reserve. So usually it's like one or two. I expanded it to three. Now that players are out for 10 to 14 days, those players are listed as out completely instead of just day to day, like you would see with like a minor injury.
Yeah.
So that allows those players to go down to IR. So you're still on the roster, but your main 12 or 13 spots may be freed up. So you can take a player from the waiver wire and add it later. So that's like a little comparison I like to use. I'm very risk averse, Kalita. So I like to add in buffers just in case these things come to pass.
Yeah.
Just to kind of put it out there for the people.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, we'll see. It seems like the league is still staying pretty flexible. Like you mentioned, they came out with a new set of protocols and everything like that. And I think that, you know, I think that everyone's just holding their nose and trying to get through the season, you know, best we can. And I mean, honestly, and I don't know, maybe you can let me know if you've heard anything about this, but, you know, I would be in favor of them setting up a bubble for, if not the entirety of the playoffs, then maybe the conference finals and the NBA finals. I don't know if I've heard that, but, you know, if they can put together a good playoff product and not have this affect the playoffs and have everyone back healthy and everything, like, I think that would be successful for the league, because they're trying to get through the regular season. But I think that they have to be thinking about how to protect the playoff product and what they're going to be showing the world when that time comes around.
Definitely, definitely. Like, I like the idea. There are definitely pros and cons to this approach. So if we're looking at it from both sides, the pros are consistency. So you wouldn't have to go in on the fly and change protocols, change rules. Everything is just set in stone. You know exactly each day what you're going to get, what to expect from the league, and how you go about your business. Rosters wouldn't be changing, and that's a huge deal in the playoffs. I'm sure we don't want to see a team go into a matchup that is, you know, heavily hyped and we're excited for, let's say, Philly and Boston, and then Philly ends up having five players out due to protocol or something. That would just crush that product in that series and significantly change the shift in power for that series. The other side of it is, you know, it's definitely a downside for the league. It's like the playoff atmosphere, the crowds and things mm-hmm. like that. We wouldn't see that like we've seen in past years. The players' mental health would be on the table again. That's something that I'm sure they didn't enjoy going through that bubble process. So there's two sides of it. I think the players will push back quite a bit, just as they did for the bubble scenario in the regular season. But it's definitely something that you should look into, because if we're having these fluctuations in the playoffs,
if we're just talking about the conference finals and the NBA finals, I'm not sure that, because that won't be as long as the bubble that we just saw.
Yeah.
You know, and with the disruptions, maybe the players would push back. You know, they might, but it wouldn't be as onerous as what they just did. You know, but like you just hit the nail on the head. People complained about the bubble and the asterisk that some people wanted to put on the last championship. Well, what type mm-hmm. of asterisk would you have to put on if Embiid and Simmons are out with COVID?
Exactly.
And
it's
the conference semifinals or the Eastern Conference finals or, God forbid, the NBA finals. I mean, when you talk about a viable competitive product and coming to a champion that has gone through a valid gauntlet. You want to keep everyone healthy. You want to keep everyone on the floor. So
exactly.
That's a great point. We'll see what they end up doing.
For sure. For sure.
Listen, I love podcasting. Who doesn't? The process is great until you get to the part where you have to edit and distribute your podcast. It's time consuming and we all love convenience. Well, here's the most convenient option possible. It's called Anchor. There's creation tools in the app that will allow you to record and edit right from your phone, tablet, or computer. It will distribute your podcast for you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other popular platforms. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go to the free Anchor app or anchor.fm right now to get started. And trust me, you won't regret it.
One last point on these COVID protocols, these young players that have had a chance to assert themselves, come in and fill that void. It's been really cool to see. The first guy that comes to mind for me, you've heard all about him. Everybody that's watching this broadcast is probably almost tired of hearing his name now in the Sixers circle, but Tyrese Maxey, the rookie, has come in and made an enormous impact with the Sixers. And just looking at his numbers over the past few games, the past three games, which the Sixers have seen a huge decrease in their roster and their competitive output, 27 points, 6.5 boards a game, 5 assists, a steal and a block per game, which tells me that his impact goes beyond the offensive end of the floor. He is a pest on defense. He's aggressive. He's physical. He loves to go downhill. That fits right into that kind of mold that the Sixers have been known for getting for their players so far. So what have you seen from him, Clita, that's really impressed you about, you know, just being a rookie, especially in these circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything that you said. And like the Tyrese Maxey just looks like the moment is not too big for him. You know, he looks like he's ready to play. He's ready for the moment. And, you know, whenever you're talking about a later first round pick, you know, you've got to be ecstatic about his future and about what he's giving you right now. I mean, he's joining a line of University of Kentucky guards now who, with a few exceptions, have come into the league and who have kind of lit the league on fire pretty early on, right? And so, you know, when I heard his name possibly being floated with Ben Simmons to Houston, I mean, I personally thought that Houston would be running. I would have ran to that package because, you know, we got Simmons, who I think needs a new I would be excited to see him in a new scenario outside of the partnership with Embiid. But then you get Maxey too. And because I think Maxey might become – he might be a star. So, yeah, I think he benefited from some of the COVID, you know, protocols, some of the effect that's had on his team. But definitely other players as well. I mean, you know, the Bulls have been a little bit shorthanded. They haven't had a couple players. So, you know, Patrick Williams, his role has gotten, I think, a little bit bigger. He's playing Patrick. Very well. He's playing very well. So there are definitely a lot of players. But, yeah, I think Tyrese Maxey is going to be that next Kentucky guard who comes in, who is going to do really, really well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kentucky's got a lot of them. So we've already seen – you know, what John Wall's been doing recently, Jamal Murray. I mean, he's just going to follow in a long line of people Tyler Hero, just to make that program proud. And speaking of Tyler, you know, the last couple games, he's been fantastic. 31 and 34 points. His shooting from two has at least been good. The three-pointer has been a little sketchy, but he is playing 38 minutes a game. And he's taking, believe it or not, 23 shots a game. So we're seeing the offensive output from Bam and Jimmy just funnel into Tyler Hero. And something I wanted to ask you about, I've seen this on Twitter. People are saying that since Jimmy and Bam at times seem to be a little bit less aggressive, they're almost like shot averse. They're just like content to just move the ball. It's like, well, why not let Tyler take all those shots? Let him take 20 shots a game and just command that offense. Like maybe that could spur a little bit more drive and just energy and output for the Miami side offensively. I like to see that.
I mean, I think we might see that once everyone's back and playing regularly, you know, where the offense flows a little bit more through Tyler. I mean, when he gets hot, you know, you want to feed him, you know, you want to feed that hot hand. And Jimmy showed in the bubble in the playoffs that he can still turn it on when he needs to. So, that team's really interesting because they may be able to get Tyler going early on and get the offense flowing through him. But if he goes cold for a stretch, you know, Jimmy can turn it right back on. So I'm really excited to see them again this year. I mean, I think the East is going to be really, really fun. For the first time in years, we've got these teams on the table who, you know, we all can order them in a different order. And we all might be valid, you know, and it's going to be a good argument as to who's number one, who's number two. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch the playoffs this year, as you know, for both conferences.
Absolutely. I am thrilled to see what Miami can do on the heels of their surprising finals appearance. Some would say fluky. That's a whole nother discussion. But, you know, I can't wait to see what they do with their litany of great players. And they're still in the mix. They didn't get Giannis. They didn't get Harden. But, like, they still have a glut of young, talented players. So, like, they're not out of the sweepstakes by any means. They're going to be in the hunt.
They're still in it, for for sure.
Absolutely. So we're talking a lot about what teams have been doing here. And of course, there was a huge deal that went down yesterday with the Harden trade. And that brought about a lot of thoughts, some from you, some from other people in the NBA sphere. But it all comes down to like what these GMs are doing on the back end to give themselves a chance at a championship. So that really makes me think about the GM school experience, Kalita, that you were a part of not too long ago. And you assumed the role of a GM for a few episodes on NBA TV. Looks like an incredible experience, something that's like a once in a lifetime, just something you can get into and just be a GM for a day, so to speak. So the first question on hand, I just wanted to ask you, how did you find out about this opportunity? Did these people, the producers, approach you and say, hey, we want you on our program? Or did you just say like, hey, you saw an opportunity and you put your name in the bucket? How did that go for you?
Yeah, you know, they actually sourced the contestant pool from SBC, actually. So from SBC, like 2016, 2017, 18, and 19. And some of the people who ran SBC put together a group of us. They sent us an email. It was like, hey, like, is this something that you might want to do? Can we give your contact information over to the producers? And so, when I got the email, I was like, yeah, because like, I just love to do crazy stuff. So, you know, I didn't wake up that day thinking, yeah, that I might be a contestant on a show. And I got the email and I was like, definitely. Awesome. So yeah, threw my name in the hat, went through their interview process and their selection process, and was lucky enough to become one of the, you know, five who got the call.
Nice. That's awesome. And, you know, from SBC, I'm sure that they saw the people were in that program and knew that they would be viable contestants for this show, because SBC has something similar. You know, they have a whole experience where, you know, you can go through, and at least for this year, I did it virtually, but you know, we had a whole free agency experience where we were on front office staff. So at least that's something that can kind of prepare you for the opportunity to be a part of something like GM school. But speaking of preparation, what did you do going into that show? Did you read up a little bit more on transactions? Did you want to get more familiar with the salary cap? What made you a little bit more prepared to feel more comfortable going into that show?
Yeah, all of that. So like I, read up on the salary cap and just some of the rules for player transactions and things like that. Definitely looked at, you know, transaction history for the league. And then, you know, there was also an analytic portion to it. So, you know, just basically took myself through questions that I had. So, you know, what are some of the analytical factors that I think, you know, can tell the story of how good a player is on defense, for example. You know, so I spent some time on NBA.com and their stats pages and looked at all the very, very detailed player tracking stats and things like that, and started to, you know, further tweak my formulations, because I think about that type of stuff all the time. But just kind of further tweak what I thought, you know, would be important, you know, for me to know going into the competition.
Okay. I see. It seems like you did your homework. And of course, with an experience like that, you're going to be in front of some pretty legit people. Billy Keane was one of the judges, Wes Wilcox, both former GMs. So, you know, you going into that, you don't want to be shorthanded. You don't want to be unprepared. You want to make sure you know your stuff before you go into something like that. So it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it seems like something that you took very seriously, and you wanted to make sure you had, you know, you had a full pocket, you know, he had all your ammo ready to go, and you can handle any question they threw at you. Because it seems like they had a lot of questions for you. It was almost like they drilled you at certain aspects. Like, was that intimidating at any point to you? Like, was there a little bit of sweat coming down your head at all? Like, when they were asking about some of your decisions?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, Wes, Billy, you know, they're former GMs, like you said, Renee Montgomery, player, you know, a point guard. So, of course, like, you know, she just brings that point guard, that leadership, that, you know, basketball knowledge into the room. The three of them were great. I mean, yeah, there were some times where I got a little nervous. I mean, what's interesting is, the first day of filming, it was like the awareness of the cameras. I'm like, oh, you know, there's like a little nerves from that. But then, like, at the end of the week, you know, some of the feedback from the judges, they were asked, like, why did you? Yeah. So, you know, you just try to, I just tried to take a deep breath and enjoy the moment and be true to myself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really all you can do. You know, you prepare, you be yourself. And it was really cool to see you and the other contestants all bring something a little bit different in terms of your approach, your strategy. And it makes me think, I think when they selected you guys for this program, they wanted to make sure there's a little bit of a variety in how you guys behaved and how you went about making these decisions. And that's what makes for great television. You know, you don't want the same type of person on TV when you're going through things like that. You want the brash one. You want the one that dives into things head first. You want the conservative one that took the time to really look at the whole scenario before doing things. So that's something that stood out to me. And, you know, I just love the different approach that you all brought to the table. And, you know, I think you all were great. And I'm not sure how I would have held up, like, you know, being on the spot in front of cameras. But, I mean, I love what y'all were doing over there. It seems like it was super special.
Yeah, I mean, everyone on the show, like, we got along great. We all, you know, some of us knew each other from SBC. And like you said, like, Ben or Darius are, like, way laid back, you know, like, totally mellow. And that's, you know, that's a strength, you know. And Khan is very, very confident. You know, I kind of brought that kind of nerdiness, like a little bit of professorial, you know, attorney, I guess, kind of thing, but also tried to, you know, kind of bring my own energy, like when we did the trade challenge and whatever. You know, Kat just brings, she's a whirlwind of energy. When she comes into a room, you know, she's talking to everyone, and, you know, there's value in all of our approaches, you know. But I think for me, the best part of the show was getting to interact with the Jason Terry, you know, former player. Mitchell, who was a coach.
Cool dude.
It's one thing to like do trivia challenges or whatever, or do like a mock draft, but like to actually sit in a room with people and be able to test yourself, you know, in that type of way. Like, I'm not going to be able to do that in the real world, you know? So it was good practice for me to just kind of be in the room and be around people that are around the league and professionals, you know?
Absolutely. And you have a background in law, and you know, I know that's something that helped you immensely, because people that do law, I mean, I feel like they definitely have a head start when it comes to being an agent, when it comes to the salary cap, because with the CBA, there's so many rules, so many protocols, and so many different exceptions and little, you know, small details that you have to know when you're conducting operations like that. And it seems like that analytical approach that you had really helped you stand out among your peers and ultimately win the whole thing. What other ways do you feel like being an attorney and having that background gave you some advantages, some strengths going into GM school?
Yeah, I mean, so the one challenge that I think my background really, really helped me have an advantage was we were interviewing Sam Mitchell for the coaching position. And so like having worked, you know, for a while, I've hired people, you know, at my law firm. Like, I've interviewed people that have wanted a job, you know, at my firm and with my group, my practice group. And so having gone, and I was the only one, if I'm remembering correctly, that the other four really hadn't. So I've been in that situation. So I was completely comfortable, like, just kind of commanding the room and then driving the conversation for the interview. So I think that really helped me for sure. But, you know, now that I'm outside of the show, you know, I'm trying to highlight my skills and with contract drafting and some other ways that I can help teams in real life.
Kind
of get their work done, you know, so.
I hear you. So going forward from that, like, have you heard from people reach out to you as a result of going through that experience? Have some doors open up for you? Like, how is your world different now that you went through something like MBA school that puts you on the map and puts you in front of millions of people, you know, on a broadcast like that?
It's been great. I've definitely had contact with people that are both currently working for teams and people that have formerly worked for teams who've reached out through one or more channels to get in contact with me. And it's been great just being able to pick their brains about certain topics, get my face in front of them, or my voice if it's a phone call in front of them, and make that initial connection. So, you know, I'm just kind of enjoying the moment and continuing to try to make those connections. You know, COVID's got everything, you know, kind of weird, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, some of the financial considerations that a lot of teams are under, you know. So when you talk about hiring and trying to get in, you know, people are kind of going with it, you know, they need a GM, they'll hire the GM, they need a GM, you know, but do they need that extra person to do this or that, you know? So I'm kind of biding my time and trying to stay positive and trying to meet more and more people every day. And, you know, we'll see once the season's over, toward the end of the season, how teams are looking with their financials and with their situations and what type of staffing needs that they may have. So I'm still very much trying to make those connections and trying to get in, but also try to enjoy the path and the road up, you know.
For sure, for sure. I love how you're staying engaged, and that's really something we have to do with people like us that are, you know, so involved in NBA culture. Things are just different right now. Got to keep your head up, got to continue to work. And it's kind of like how it was when we had that whole shutdown. You know, the league shut down, but, you know, life goes on. So you have to continue to make sure you're prepared and, stay dedicated to your craft and things like that. And I'm sure with your background and what you do on a day-to-day basis, you stay busy and continuing to dive headfirst into that. So I'm sure this is no problem for you at all.
So it's been, just kind of keeping up with my work and then, trying to just stay engaged however I can, So we'll see, but it's been really fun.
Awesome. Awesome. And one last thing I wanted to highlight is just Sports Business Classroom in general, because, I went through it this past year, you were in it, and, people can see what opportunities, what doors open for you once you go through that program. So if there anybody out there is interested in getting your foot in the league and getting started on the road to working in basketball, really anything in sports, it's a great place to start, opportunities with just the networking and getting to learn about the salary cap and analytics, like all of that is so important and it's so impactful when it comes to how you look in the eyes of employers and people that you might want to get to know and chat with. So I think that your experience speaks to that, just being a part of that, I think that's the best marketing campaign, the best pitch you can possibly put out for prospective participants is something like that. It's like, hey, we put somebody in the chair of a GM for a day. Somebody got in the sight of Wes Wilcox and these people. So like that is probably the best, the highest praise you can put on SBC is, your experience.
For sure. For sure. I mean, and like, honestly, I don't know about your experience, but like, I didn't realize how much I didn't know or how much other people were doing until I got to SBC, because like in my real world, I'm the NBA person, like I'm the guru, I'm the crazy fanatic, right? But at SBC, like you're with a room full of, or, virtual, I don't know if they're doing it virtually again this year, but like you're with a room full of people who are just as or more obsessed than you are for the first time. So I think that was a crazy experience. It was so cool. And it also, when I left, I was like, okay, I got to get on my game. Like I wasn't doing cap shoots before SBC, but after SBC, it's like, man, I manage my own cap sheets, do all the math and all that. So, it's a good program.
I've noticed that too. When you are in your little bubble and, you interact with people every day, maybe you go to work and you're talking about the league. It's like, man, she really knows her stuff. Like, this is blowing me away. It's almost like if you're playing basketball, you're in college, you're in high school, and you're like, I am at the top of my game. Like, I know what I'm doing. And you take that next step. And you just realize like you're at the bottom of the totem pole again. Like you go into the NBA from college and you're like, I do not know what I'm doing. I got to go back to the drawing board. So I'm definitely with you on that. And doing cap sheets, that's something that, people got to know how much work that takes. Yeah. You know, I've been working with some people from SBC that went through it with me on a website called No Trade Clause. And we throw up a bunch of cap sheets and we're doing that. And it's like, wow, like you really got to be analytical minds like you and me. That's where we thrive. This is doing cap. That's detail oriented to the max. So, just love that as well.
For sure. For sure.
Awesome, Cleta. Well, I think that's going to wrap up our conversation here this evening. I want to thank you again for joining me on this broadcast and giving your experience to GM School and talking a little bit about these COVID protocols. I know it's not the best of circumstances. Things could be a little bit more smooth, but at least we have the league. At least we still have basketball and the chance to talk about it like this. So, thanks so much. And I wish you the best in your future endeavors and anything else that comes your way as a result of being a part of GM School and SBC.
Thank you so much. It's been super fun. Thanks for having me on the show. And, we'll see. I'll be interested to see how things shake out this season. And I'll be really grateful when things get back to normal next season. So.
Me too. Me too. It's teaching us to not take anything for granted following this whole ordeal. It's all pretty awesome. So. If you want to find us on Business Casual Basketball, we're going to be on BC Basketball 2 on Twitter and Instagram. BCBasketball.info is the website. New posts going up probably tonight or tomorrow about the whole James Harden dilemma. So be sure to check us out for some more salary cap details and things of that nature. We're going to be bringing to you all season. And we'll be back next week with some more NBA analysis with another great guest like Kalita. So be sure to check us out 5:30 p.m. every Thursday night, coming back at you with some more NBA content. So until next time, guys, enjoy your night. Enjoy the rest of this NBA season. And we'll be coming back at you with some more NBA analysis real soon. Take care.